Welcome to How Can We Help? Now, if you haven't heard this podcast before, it's an advice podcast with two hosts, Jackie Pirico and myself, Mark Little. And I would say that to be generous to us, we are not professionally equipped to give advice.
No, not technically professionally equipped, but boy, do we love doing it.
We love doing it anyway. We love weighing in and wading in to the waters of the soul.
And let's be honest, we like the element of gossip that goes along with it.
We sure do. Now, Jackie, speaking of advice, have you received any good advice lately?
I did, actually. I was in Moncton, New Brunswick, for a comedy festival. And there was one show where...
The home of comedy.
The home, absolute mecca of comedy, where they have a river made of sludge that every day almost floods and demolishes the town every day at about 4 p.m. And so that was kind of the scene. And I did one show where... Like, everyone seemed to be killing. You know when you do those shows and everybody's killing? And then the way you feel when you get off stage, you don't feel like you killed. You didn't bomb, but you don't feel like you killed. And then you're looking for affirmation in your colleagues to be like, you killed. But maybe they don't say that, or maybe they don't look you in the eye.
Or maybe they say that was actually quite bad, or they start giving
but
you tips.
I was really building it up in my head, because in retrospect, I did have a fine time on stage, but I just didn't feel like everyone was getting off stage being like, whoa, they are so hot. And I just didn't feel that.
That's my favorite ugly thing that comedians do is when they get off stage and they've had a great set, this like barely contained false humility that comes off where they're like, that's a good crowd. That's a good crowd.
Yeah.
Like, oh, just say you did a good job.
And there was about 20 people on the show and every person was doing that.
Ooh, that's a hot crowd. Just hear
and
the adrenaline.
I did not feel like that. And then when I got off, the like festival director didn't really like, he was like kind of looking at his phone, but he's busy. And I go back to the green room and all the comics, it was at the end of the show. I was like second last. And all the comics were just like talking and were quite drunk. And then later on I felt like, oh my God, did I you kind of gaslight yourself into thinking that you didn't do well.
Yeah.
But I know I didn't bomb. But anyway, I got some advice from somebody there that's been doing comedy a long, long time saying like, listen, you cannot give a shit about what any of the comics think because your relationship in stand-up comedy is not between you and your colleagues. That's not what you're doing it for. You have to ask yourself your why. What are you doing it for? Because you love being in front of the crowd on the stage and making them laugh. So that's your relationship. And you have, for example, 10 minutes on stage. That's your time. Don't worry about what they think. Don't worry about what style of comedy they're doing or what they think is funny. They don't factor in.
The only thing that matters is how well you do for the people of Moncton.
That's right.
No matter where you're performing in the world, you have to ask yourself, what would Moncton think?
And oh, Mark, there was some fucking hard, like I did like basically a roadhouse there that I walked in and it was like a roadhouse. It was the hardest, oldest, gruffest, grumpiest looking, like all kind of, you know, long haul truckers.
Yeah, chain link fence defending the blind blues guitarist from beer bottles flying at his head. No, I've seen Roadhouse. I understand.
Can I be honest? I haven't seen Roadhouse.
Outside, there's a billionaire swerving down the middle of the road. And
hey, stop.
Spoiler
alerting Roadhouse for me.
Now, so you got this good advice
and
from...
And it really helped, yeah.
Can you... Because you've talked about... A nickname you had for the fellas.
I didn't make the nickname.
A fellas
up.
At the festival.
I didn't.
The older male comedians at the festival.
I didn't.
Please share it.
No, and I
Please,
didn't even make
it's
it up.
So funny.
A really funny girl told me this.
Okay, well, share that.
It's just because, like, you know, when you're kind of mixed in with a couple different generations of performers that are all together at a festival, maybe there's some people that are older, been around a while, that have a lot of good advice to offer, and
sure,
really
yeah.
valuable advice. Let's
butter them up before we tear them down.
But someone referred to them so hilariously as bootcut kings.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're not quite, you know, cutting edge current with the fashion.
Yeah. To be generous.
They've had those boot cuts for, you know, since mid-aughts.
Those boot cut jeans.
Uh-huh. A lot of some there's some white, like big white stitching on them
sometimes.
Sometimes.
Maybe on the butt pocket.
Yeah. Maybe like a True Religion butt pocket, like, or whatever. You know
I
what?
Love picturing this on like a 49-year-old man.
And when I went to the mall to kill time, because Mark, you know, I love the mall.
Yeah.
There was in Moncton, it was like a dying mall. There was a freaking bootlegger at the mall, a bootlegger, the store.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I literally cartoon like scrubbed my eyes like, what the hell am I looking at? A bootlegger?
Oh, they opened it. It was a pop-up shop just because they knew that festival was coming to town. All the bootlegger guys are going to be in there. Hey, hey, what are you doing here? Hey, hey, hey. Good set last night. Hey, can I give you a tip? It's not about it.
That's where the after party reception was. But it was really valuable advice, and I'm taking it because it's like, but you know the feeling I'm describing, right? When you come off stage and if everyone's in a green room and, you know, you're kind of like wanting the approval of your cohort or your colleagues. And it's like, to try and let that go feels really good because it's like, yeah, no one is doing what I'm doing up there. I cannot compare my set because if a crowd might like what they're doing better, I don't do what they do. That's why I get booked on other places.
I like to take it further, which I feel like is the subtext of what you're saying, which is, yeah, it doesn't matter if they did better. They're actually worse than me. And this crowd's stupid. Fuck Moncton. And fuck these bootcuck freaks.
You know what? There were surprisingly a lot of really great crowds. Like women and like younger men like me.
Yeah.
There was a couple crowds where like it was so discernible that like all the women and all the younger men are like, ah, ha, ha. But the older kind of like peepaws and like pappies and like grandpas are looking at me like I'm literally a fucking alien that dropped down from space onto the stage.
Yeah.
Like they're like, I'm not even bonding with them. They're just looking at me like, what am I looking at? Like, what am I watching?
Yeah. The future, old man.
Yeah, man. This is the future. Yeah. I'm an elder millennial. It was fun.
You do end all your sets by executing an old man, though. So they might have been.
Made of sense.
If they were only confused by that, that's a win. If they weren't horrified by that.
Know what old man I know would love to be executed?
Who?
My dad. He's always begging us to just put him out on an ice floe and ship him off into the like into the icy Arctic waters. He's like, I'm done. Ship me off. But yet he's doing a lot of really good work for all of us. Have you had good advice, Mark, right recently that impacted you?
Well, as you know, I am constantly throwing my life into upheaval.
Yes, you do love that.
I don't love it.
Oh, you don't?
I seem drawn to it.
Yeah, yeah. Fine. I don't know. We don't know if moths love the flame. But they're certainly at it.
Yeah, they certainly get a lot of flame. They certainly make their whole life about that flame. So yes, I had quit drinking last year, got into smoking cigarettes.
Really hard, yeah.
Which was bad. I realized, went home. I think I've told you this part before.
Oh, it's for like, Christmas.
Yeah, went home for Christmas, realized like, oh, I will quit while I'm at home. That proved to be very difficult.
That, I have to say, is one of the most insane ideas.
I didn't think it through. I think I just thought like, oh, New Year's coming, New Year's.
Yeah. And
I had that like New Year's resolution thing. Like, oh, when the calendar flips, I'll just let it go. But really it was just a way to like, let myself not worry about it until then.
Right.
You know, and it was very delightful. But I kept having panic attacks from nicotine. So I've had to quit. I listened to that magic book, How to Stop Smoking, the Alan Carr book.
Oh, you listened to it on audiobook?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Tom Henry made fun of me because he said, you're the only person who has smoked for less time than it took him to write that book.
You may have smoked for less time than it took you to listen to the book.
Oh, definitely. But it was like, it's crazy how quickly I got hooked. And then it did help. The book is magic, but it's like very good.
Wow.
So I'm just like running with that. But then, since then, it's been like a month and I've just been like back into the up and down, like mood swings because, you know, okay. So I'm just trying to like, I've been like watching a lot of YouTube videos on like how to live. Mm-hmm. And this one guy who is like a neuroscientist called like Dr. Andrew Huberman, who has Rogan-y vibes. And Carlin, my girlfriend, is like, very like, that feels like Rogan shit. And I'm like, he's a neuroscientist.
Oh,
like,
no.
I'm really trying to defend him. So I don't know, but it seems positive. But maybe the best, if you'd call it advice or perspective, I've gotten this week is from Steve-O of Jackass.
Oh, I like him. He's smart.
Is he?
I think he's cool and smart.
This is a man who asked.
And hot.
This is a man who stapled his own head a lot.
I know that he has done all that crazy stuff, but like, I'm just drawn to that kind of reckless, shithead, skateboarder with that voice and like he's so crazy. And but now, like, so I loved him back then.
Yeah. So like shithead CKY man and real terrible is what you mean by smart.
But it's now an acronym for all that stuff. I think that he's been through the ringer and he has some good advice to give, I think.
Well, that I do think is true. So he was just like talking on some YouTube clip and he was saying how he didn't realize, he was quoting someone else, but they didn't realize they were an alcoholic until they got sober. And it was because when they got rid of their issues, or sorry, when they got rid of their coping mechanisms, they were left with the issues that drew them to alcohol in the first place.
Right.
Or in my case, drew me to alcohol and then drew me to smoking and just draw me to like every habit mm-hmm. that I become like focused on to escape just my own brain. So now I'm stuck with my own brain and like to an insane degree. And I'm just trying to deal with that. So I'm applying the Huberman advice.
And yeah, what's that?
Well, basically, I'm trying to structure my days more. I'm trying to give myself more of like a strong routine.
Okay.
That is like, there's so much going into it. It's too much. But it's like right now what I'm doing is, this is his advice. I'm just trying to see if it works for me. I'm trying to wake up at the same time every day.
Uh-huh.
I'm only drinking water and not eating food or drinking caffeine for the first hour plus.
Okay.
I'm going outside and getting sunlight in the first half
good.
Hour.
That's good advice.
I'm spending that first hour reading, ideally something, I don't know, kind of like challenging.
And do you stay off your phone for that first hour?
And stay off social
yeah.
media.
Okay.
Yeah, and my phone and email. And so, and then I'm trying to like balance that with things that my body is telling me it wants. So when I start to feel hungry, I don't deny that.
Good.
I do. And then I'm working out every day.
Okay, good.
So I'm doing all these
There's
things.
There's a lot of positive stuff
There's
in there.
There's a lot of positive stuff.
Oh, but why can't you eat for the first hour of the day?
That I have not looked into the why.
Can I tell you, and you know me, Mark, and I've talked to you about this a lot. I've done every fad diet. I've done all that stuff under the sun. I've tried intermittent fasting. And intermittent fasting, for sure, it's different for women, but It for sure makes you lose weight, I'd say. But for women, I don't know about men, but it's really bad for women because it's like really fucks with your hormones and like your cortisol levels and stuff. And so the changes I've made this year is as soon as I wake up, within the first hour of the day, I make sure I eat protein. And it's made me feel so much better and it like keeps me full for so long. Mm. So maybe you can just have like a couple scrambled eggs when you wake up.
I don't know. It's just your word against a neuroscientist. So
Huberman's always, I'm always in the shadow of Huberman.
Who do I trust, Huberman or Humor Woman?
Oh, God.
Yes. Yes.
I don't trust anyone now. okay. Well, those sound like good changes.
Yeah.
What time do you wake up every day now? What's your time? Is that too nosy of me to ask?
Well, it hasn't actually been the same time, but it has been early.
Okay.
It's been like 8:30, 8:30, 7:30, which is crazy for me because I used to be like an 11 o'clock
oh
boy.
Oh my God. That can't be good for your mental health to wake up at 11.
Last time I was home, my dad was snippy with me only once.
Okay.
He really restrains himself, but it was like one of the last days and he always gets so mad that I like sleep in.
Mm-hmm.
He like takes it so personally.
Well, he's was a farmer, right?
Well,
they're up with the like the crack of dawn.
Yeah. And I always ignore his rooster these days. He releases it so close
okay,
to my
room.
Okay, so
the rooster's feeling ignored. Okay, yeah. So there's tension.
Oh my God, I wish he talked in that way. The rooster's feeling ignored. He just bottles up his thing and he paces and paces. And then on day six, he's like, maybe you should look into circadian rhythms because I feel like you don't understand what you're doing.
Hey, I'm kind of with him.
I am too, but I'm not with the tone.
No, not with, I'm not defending his tone, but that you are looking into the circadian rhythms by making sure you get the sunlight within the first hour.
I am.
That is so crucial.
I know.
They're good for you. Do you know what I do at nighttime to help my circadian rhythm and make me fall asleep?
What?
It makes me fall asleep so quick. Okay, I sleep with earplugs every night. Earplugs that I have to fib and say that I'm a construction worker to get my paws on them online. and then at the same time, my dad always used when I was a kid when he worked on like the assembly line at GM. They're like really good earplugs.
Mm.
And then I put on my headlamp. Okay, I have a headlamp. And I click it to red light.
Yeah, you descend and, into the mine.
Yes. And I have, so it's all pitch black in my room, got my earplugs and I've got my red headlamp on and I like read my book really close to my face with my red light. So literally the world melts away. It's just me and the book. And red light is good for your circadian rhythm. And like you shouldn't have like blue light or green light. That's why alarm clocks now have red light. And I fall asleep so quick. Like, in an instant, my book is, like, dropping onto the bed. Yeah.
That's why people always fall asleep at stoplights. But then get really neurotic when it's green. They go fast.
Instantaneous.
Yeah.
But that's how I try and help along my rhythm.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I've heard about this red light, blue light stuff.
Yeah, and I have a red mask, too. I have a red mask for beauty.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
But one time I was in my red light headlamp with my earplugs and reading, and Elliot came into the room and scared me, and he did this, like, he, like, he brushed his hair all down, like, in front of his face, like, in a really scary way.
Like the girl from The Ring?
It kind of, yeah, but his hair is, like, blonde, and, like, it just looked really scary. And he came into the room, and I know this is TMI, but he was also, like, I think out of the shower, so he was naked. And he went, hello, and he did a really scary, like, old lady voice, and I turned around, and all I could see him was, like, that in the red light. It scared me so much that I cried. I cried tears. It was so scary. Wow. Anyway, yeah.
That's cool.
Did I? You'll kill me for telling that. Did I told you recently that I got visited in the night by a sleep paralysis incubus succubus demon, right?
You sure did, but we don't have time to talk about it because we got to get to some advice.
Okay, fine. And it wasn't Elliot doing that. It was a real, like, incubus demon. But anyway, we'll talk about it next time.
I like Jackie's impulse after 30 full minutes of intro riffing to say, hey, you want to hear a story about a night hag that visited me? Are you ready to give some advice?
Yes, let's give some advice.
Okay. Now, as you know, these are questions that we've solicited at this point, exclusively through Jackie's Instagram page.
Yeah, from all my cyber friends.
Yeah, so these are all people trying to contact, in some cases, just Jackie. They just want to chat and they don't realize this is not the right way to do it. We will be posting these questions elsewhere eventually. But for the moment, if you want to submit questions, and we want you to, if you want advice from us, search for Jackie Pirico on Instagram.
And it's the link in my bio.
That's right. So with that in mind, here's the first question we received. Hi, looking for a booking contact. Are you available December 3rd? Trying to source an opener for Pinky Patel at Queen Elizabeth Theater, in brackets, sold out. Let me know if you're interested / available.
Are you serious? Is this fucking real? No. You're,
this is real. Pinky Patel?
What, when did you receive this? When did this come in?
This, I mean, clearly prior to December 3rd.
No. Oh, December? Fuck. What? Fucking hell. I love the Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah. So that's just a missed opportunity for Jackie. And this is just a reminder.
Who is Pinky Patel?
I have no idea.
Pinky for real? I feel like they're trying to lure me. I'm familiar
with the Brain Patel.
I feel like
I'm familiar with Thumb Patel.
Oh, God. I get it. You know what? That sounds like I would be lured to the, like, down to Exhibition Place and the theater's not even open and someone would put a bag over my head and drag me into a van.
Yeah, and they go, Pinky Patel says hello.
Well, I missed out on a theater show anyways. Got any good advice for me on how to cope with that?
I don't know. I think we got to look up Pinky Patel and find out what you missed.
Damn it. Fucking, why would someone try to book me through that link?
Okay, on to the next piece of advice. Dear Jackie, I'm hoping to book you for a big tour coming up, opening for Marc Maron. It's a North American tour with 56 dates. Are you available? It starts January 10th. Please respond.
That is a joke.
We're either going with you or Pinky Patel.
Oh, how far Pinky Patel has fallen. Doing the theater herself and then opening?
For Maron.
Oh, well, me and you will just have to get so big and famous that we sell out the Queen Elizabeth Theater.
Yeah, by the time we get there, it'll be the frickin' King Charles Theater. Okay, every time I work from home, I just want to not do work and would rather look up sports news and play games on my phone. Do you have any tips on how to stay focused and productive? Signed, P. Patel. No, just kidding. Made up that last part, but that is a real question.
So they love work. They work from home, but they just can't get motivated, and all they want to do is look up sports news and fart around.
Yeah, play games on their phone. How do they stay focused and productive, Jackie?
Well, I mean, I would never have this problem because my eyes glaze over with all things to do with sports.
Yeah, and don't bother making this apply to your life. Just focus on the sports.
You know what? I think that because I worked from home for so long from like throughout the pandemic, I understand that feeling. I think that a good important thing to implement is separation between your like life world and home life world and your like work from home life world.
But how do you do that on a computer with all those pesky tabs that you can open? You can open up a nice sports website.
You're right. I was
the cuckoo clock's going.
The cuckoo clock's chiming in.
Finding out there's a button where Stefan can turn off that cuckoo clock.
I love him personally. I would suggest, you know, maybe just always doing your work in a different room. Do you have a home office? Do you have like a little office room in your place that you can like, when you're in there, you're doing your task and that will motivate you to like stay on task. Like you could set a rule for yourself of like, when I'm in this room doing my work from home, I can't look at Sports Center desk.
Yeah. You make a little, Sports Center desk. You make a rule for yourself.
Yeah, just like just physically separate the space if you can.
Maybe you write down the rule on a piece of paper and you pin it above the workstation.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm bad at giving this advice because like even when I wasn't working from home and I was so unsupervised in my job all throughout those years, I was always going and looking online and online shopping. And my office was attached to the mall. You better believe I was always at the mall too. Not only was looking at other websites, I was going to the stores. Physically themselves. I'd be like to my coworker Fionn, let me know if anything happens. I'm gonna be at the mall.
Yeah.
So I need this advice too. It's very hard. But isn't he getting any negative consequence from this? If there's no negative consequence from all of his dicking around and procrastinating and looking at sports and like then like I don't know, who cares? Fuck capitalism.
Sure. I have to assume that there is some negative consequence.
Otherwise, he wouldn't be asking this.
Yeah. Now, who knows what kind of work he does? Maybe he's a writer. Maybe he's freelance in some way. Mm-hmm. And he's... Are we assuming he? Because of sports?
Of course I'm assuming that.
That's fun. I love it when we do things of that nature. So he's playing games on his phone. So, okay, easy thing. You know,
turn off your data and Wi-Fi.
Put that phone in another room.
Yeah.
Don't have that phone near you.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to get that phone because you just can't help yourself when you're done with it, put that back in another room.
Yeah.
Really tire yourself out.
Yeah, put like physical barricades between yourself and all of that.
Yeah. Now, here's, you know, in the quitting smoking book, mm-hmm. what it says is every time you try not to think of something, you spend a long time thinking about it, right. So, for instance, in the world of quitting smoking, if the thought I want to smoke comes into your head, you're not supposed to go, I'm bad, banish thee. Because then it'll just be like tickling the outsides of your brain for the next long while.
Okay.
You got to acknowledge the thought.
Yeah.
Face the thought.
Kind of like meditation. Like you just look and kind of rotate the thought around in your mind.
Yeah. You rotate the thought. You look at every angle. You look at the thought's ass.
You spread them, thought.
Yeah. You arrest the thought.
You kick its ankles apart against a wall.
You pull down the thought's pants, you slap it on the butt, and then you tell everyone, hey, look at this thought, little piggy. You film the thought, and you post it online, and you humiliate the thought.
You dox it.
You absolutely dox the thought. And sure, the thought's parents sue you in the aftermath.
But yeah, it's okay. So you can't banish it because that's not true banishment.
Yeah, you got to look at it and then, with the smoking book, you look at it and then you remind yourself, okay, I want to smoke. What do I really want? Mm-hmm. And so you think your way through it. And then ideally by the end of that thought, you go, I don't want to smoke. I'm just feeling anxious.
Right.
But I acknowledge that smoking's not going to cure that anxiety. Smoking is the root of that anxiety. Mm-hmm. So whatever, you try and talk your way through it, but the key is you don't look away from it. So I wonder, I have had this trouble too, where I'm writing on my computer and anytime I come up against a small jam, I just want to like toggle over to a sports site.
Oh, you are on the sports sites too?
I'm a sports site guy.
Oh my God. You guys with your sports sites.
I really don't know why, but I'm a...
How much new information is there to find
that's
out?
That's the thing. Precious little. And what there is almost always boring.
Can't you just go shopping for clothes instead online?
I think that would be healthy. Oh, online, that would not be healthier. But to get up and go would be healthier. Right. But I wonder if every time this guy, and I don't know if this is going to work, this might just make it much worse. But when you have that urge to look at sports, just do it, man.
Okay. No, You're saying the same thing I did.
Think about the urge.
Yeah, think about the urge. Maybe you could have a elastic rubber band around your wrist from like the green onions or the broccoli. Yeah. And every time you want to look at the sports, you like snap the band and hurt yourself.
So we're saying opposite things here.
But that's a trick. Have you heard of that trick?
I have.
Oh, someone recently was doing that trick. Oh my God. It was Tom, our friend Tom Henry. He had a red rubber band around his wrist.
Yeah.
And he didn't snap it or anything, but when he looked at it, it reminds him that he doesn't want to be hungover the next day.
Yeah.
So smart. Wear something on your wrist so that you see it when you go to grab your phone and you think, oh, hang on, the person who put this on my wrist doesn't want to be doing this.
Yeah. Now, mm-hmm. what I'm suggesting is just slightly the opposite of that.
Okay.
Which is... instead of just like shaming yourself, mm-hmm. just acknowledge the thought, think about why you want to look at sports, uh-huh. and then maybe ask yourself what's really going on.
Okay.
Do you want to look at sports because you're tired of writing or doing whatever your work is?
Yeah.
If that's the case, do you have the opportunity to just get up and go for a walk?
Right.
Or do something else? I don't know if looking at sports actually helps this guy. It doesn't help me. To me, it just makes me feel like I'm a hamster in a wheel. Yeah. It does feel like looking at sports. I have 4 sports sites I go to, and I just go to them. And I go to them in like a compulsive,
right?
Just like what's new with the world kind of way.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder if there's been an update. And if there has, I rarely even care about it.
So it's just an age-old escapism.
Yeah.
Right, that's a good point. Why do I want to look at this? Can I do something else to refresh myself?
I hate that I'm trying to give real advice.
Yeah, unlike you.
It's
what's
not even
going
well
on?
Earned. Okay, here's my advice, you little piece of shit.
But I mean it though too. Like I'm sick of being. I've been a downtrodden worker being taken advantage of by a big boss and a big CEO in the past. And I'll do whatever I can to get away with whatever I can.
Yeah.
Get it if it's like a big company and you know they're looking the other way and you're working from home. Whatever. Sometimes I would make a nice big lunch and sometimes I would like do this and that and I'd work outside. I could hardly see my computer screen in the working outside in the sun. But I do have a good work ethic, I think, but sometimes it's hard. It's hard to have a good working from home is such a funny phenomenon. Yeah. I do kind of miss it.
If you're working from home, you got to get up and you got to leave that home.
Oh, the worst parts of working from home would be for me to like wake up, roll out of bed and just go start working and like have no semblance of like a self-care routine or like you were saying, don't see the light of day. So fucking depressing. Actually, I've been doing that the past couple days and it's really depressing.
Yeah.
Did we help this person?
I don't know. I don't think so. And that feels right.
They better not have been writing that question to us on company time. Because that's just bolstering their issues. I hope they waited till 5 p.m. to open that link online and ask us that question.
Whose side are you on?
I don't know anymore. I'm a mercenary. Yeah. I'll just go wherever.
You're Ed Norton and you're Brad Pitt. Here's a lighter question, but also a much heavier question.
Oh.
Can I say the N-word if I'm rapping?
Oh my God, that is so impossible to answer. Who's the asking?
I think we can guess who's asking.
Okay.
Oh, it's signed definitely a black man. Definitely a black man. Just wondering what you think.
No, I think that we've established, I think it's quite well established now that you can't because I recently saw a clip of someone singing karaoke. I don't remember what song it was. Oh, it was Gold Digger.
Oh yeah.
And he substituted that word with, which is cringe, playa, playas.
Yeah, that is cringe.
But would you rather be cringe or would you rather be, you know?
Real.
No. Honest. Would you rather be honest? I would rather be cringe than be, you know.
Yeah, if it's a decision between cringe speak and hate speech.
Speech. Yeah, I'll say playas. It's really hard for me to even sound that out with my mouth right now, though.
Yeah, if you're going to do that with Gold Digger, you should also change the word Gold Digger for the rhyme.
Gold playa?
Yeah, just make it playa twice.
But on the radio, they say, I ain't saying she's a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke.
Yeah.
Just do that.
Yeah, just say broke.
Like a record thing, broke.
Yeah, that's like what they did with Let's Get R-Worded.
Oh, they did? Let's Get It... What did they say?
Well, they said, Let's Get It Started, remember?
Get it started.
I love so much that the Black Eyed Peas had a song called Let's Get R-Worded.
Somebody said to me recently that they're like, were you there? No. Who said this to me? Someone was like, oh yeah. Someone was like, yeah, a friend of mine's really campaigning to bring that word back.
Oh yeah. A lot of people are in private. It's like, there's like whisper campaigns going on. I feel like all my friends are back to saying it, but only to each other.
But I mean, well, look, I'm not going to get into the politics of that word. We've got a much heavier word on the docket right now.
Yeah, we do.
With this. My advice is a resounding no. You can't, even if you're rapping. Absolutely not.
That's the only N-word you should be using, my friend.
Is no. Nope, girl.
Nope.
No. Sorry, why? I think this is some more advice where you say, you've got to ask yourself the question. Why do you want, like, is it important that you're to you that you're allowed to say it, or that you can, or that it's acceptable?
Well, no, I think we can assume this is just a cheeky question from a cheeky little bastard.
This is cheeky.
But I will say this. I could not disagree with Jackie Moore. I think you got to let that freak flag fly. I think that's what that saying applies to.
Does that fall under the banner of freak flag?
That's your freak flag. I think if you're rapping, you got to do it right.
I was just listening to Hit 'Em Up on the way here while I was walking through the playground of young, small children, where he's like, that's why I fucked your bitch. And doesn't one of you have sickle cell or something? Like, you know that song.
Yeah.
And as much as I love that song, even though it does also instill in me a feeling of dread because they're talking about killing each other and they were all ultimately ended up getting killed. Mm. They did get killed. I would never dream to, if I were to be, well, I wouldn't be rapping along to it. I don't know. What scenario is this person in that they're find themselves so often rapping in public? Because otherwise, why would it matter if you're at home alone?
Well,
if a tree falls in the forest.
Yeah, that's good. I feel like you're making yourself the villain of this episode, and that makes me really happy.
But really,
though, I feel
though,
like a great weight has been lifted off my shoulders.
We need to have more context around this.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a word we should be playing with. And
playa. We can't be playas here.
That's right. May I suggest buddy? That's a fun word to throw in there.
My brother, when we were in high school, he used to get mad at my dad for saying are you having your buddy over? Or, like, are you going out with your buddies? My brother would say, Dad, friends are friends. Buddies sleep together.
Wow.
Yeah, like what? Like he my brother was being homophobic about that word and thinking that buddy meant male sexual partners or something.
Interesting.
Bum buddy, maybe it came from. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's so dumb.
Bum buddy.
Or I don't know what he was thinking.
Bum buddy, stop me.
Have you not heard that term before?
I don't know if I have.
I think it was just in my high school or something stupid. We're a bunch of hicks.
Yeah.
I remember my dad offered me $500 to cut off my dreadlocks. And I didn't for the longest time.
My woke dad.
And I didn't for the longest time. I was like, no, I'm never going to sell out.
He's like, cut off those dreadlocks and stop using that word while you're rapping.
But then, like, 6 months later, I cut them off on my own volition and, like didn't have anything to do. But I still was like, pony up, Dad. And he gave me the money still. I'm such a spoiled little shit.
Wow.
And it was the richest I'd ever been at that point.
Of course.
Of course. I was, like, 16 and I had no hair. I was so rich and had so little hair. So to conclude, no, I don't think you should say that word when you rap. But I would love to know if in a follow-up letter, if you could just let us know, where are you rapping? Can we catch a show?
Yeah, we'd love to catch a show. We'd love to catch presumably the coolest guy. Rap his favorite songs the way God intended. All right. I have been single for a long time. I am a 28-year-old man with a decent job, funny, and I think good looking, but I don't know how to find new people, and I really, really want to. I want to go crazy, but I am scared.
Oh, I love that he wants to go crazy.
Yeah, I think I picked this question because I was charmed and confused by that last line in the context of the rest of it.
Yeah, so he's 28. He's good. He says he's decently good looking. He's got a good job.
He says he's funny.
Oh, sorry. He says he's funny and he's got a decent job.
He thinks he's good looking.
Yeah.
And he's got a decent job.
But where does he meet girls or whoever he wants to meet is what he's asking.
Yeah. Yeah. He says he's been single for a long time and he doesn't know how to find new people and he really, really wants to. He wants to go crazy, but is scared.
What does that mean? At first, it immediately charmed me and I wanted him to go crazy. But the fact that he's scared of going that whatever particular kind of crazy is sort of off-putting.
Now, what it sounds like to me, and this could be a misreading, is that this is a very buttoned up man.
Yes.
I mean, he sounds like he's got his shit together pretty well for a 28-year-old.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's got it all. He's, like, buttoned up. But then there's this part of him that associates...
Meeting people with going crazy.
Yes, yeah.
Well, look, I've got a way for him to go crazy a bit.
Okay.
Like, when I was single, and if I would see someone that, like, caught my eye... I would, and my friends are always kind of in awe of this, but it just, to me, was like absolutely no big deal. I would give someone my number. Like, I remember this one guy I met, he was like bartending at the Cameron House, and I ended up dating him for a little while. It was very tumultuous, kind of real, kind of leaving Las Vegas, kind of fraught with just like substance abuse and a lot of passion relationship. But I saw him behind the bar, he was so hot. And I like wrote my number on a piece of paper, and I was like, and he goes, "What's this?" I'm like, "It's my number. Use it."
That's it.
I said,
wow.
"Use it."
Yeah.
And like, so you gotta, I don't know, if you need to take a beta blocker or something, I didn't, but a lot of people would hear that and be like, "I could never do that."
Oh.
But you have to.
What does a beta blocker do?
It makes you feel not embarrassed and not shy.
Really?
Yeah. It makes you feel not those like negative emotions. Your eyes just lit up. You want some beta blockers?
Yes. Are you kidding me? If I block the beta in me, do I become an alpha?
I think that, like, I don't know, but I never needed that because that's just my personality. I'm pretty forward.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, I was flirty and I just don't know. I didn't, my ego didn't feel threatened at the prospect of being like rejected. I just like went for it. And yeah. I like met a lot of nice people like that.
Now I will say this, I think that's easier
for a girl,
like the exact scenario that you're describing, like throwing your number around.
Right.
I definitely like love the sentiment of like getting out there and taking that risk.
Yeah, you have to take risks.
You know, it's a numbers game. You got to get out there. You figure out what women like and use that. Touch their hands.
No.
Talk to them. And there's classes for this.
Stop.
In
right
fact,
there.
It's kind of an art. And if you want to be an artist at, let's say, picking up women, I think there's some really good tricks you can
No,
learn.
Okay. This is my best advice for this individual.
Okay.
Don't even touch that shit.
Yeah.
Because us girls, any girl worth their salt and savvy and streetwise, that is such obvious shit. It's like
if you
want to
hook up with the naive sort of
unstreetwise. I'm not throwing any girls under the bus. But like I know right away when a guy is like doing all that pickup artist shit, like negging me, it's the fucking dumbest thing on the planet.
I know when
so
a
dumb.
Girl's negging me, but it still works.
It works on you?
It works so well. I've told you about every relationship in my 20s.
What, everyone's nagging you?
Yeah, just girls nagging me, telling me saying stuff like, "I thought you were supposed to be funny." And then I'm just like, fuck.
Oh. Oh,
what's your
God.
Number?
I want to use it.
And then like cut to 2 months later, I'm like, I don't know if it's working, man. She's kind of mean.
And look, I've had a lot of bad relationships too. But I just think, yeah, there's an element of you have to steal yourself and like kind of put your ego on the line a little bit, but don't be, it's such a fine art. You can't be too aggressive, but if he's looking for places to meet people, like literally locations, I know this sounds bad because there's such a culture right now of like, you know, people drink too much and you don't have to drink. And a lot of people are like living a more sober lifestyle.
You don't have to drink. And if you are having trouble with drinking, get into smoking for 6 months.
Then pop in those headphones and crank that audiobook.
I'll tell you this straight up. Nothing makes it easier to forget about your drinking problem than your fresh, much worse smoking problem. It will monopolize every square inch of your mind. And you won't think about drinking.
There you go. But I think you have to go out at night. You do. You have to go out at night.
Well, I think it depends on who you are.
But don't be a night crawler, predator, freak, like, you know.
Yeah.
It's hard. You can't go to a bar just to pick up girls.
But you got to be who you are, though. Like, it makes sense to me. You're in a bar. You're throwing your number around because you're a party girl.
Right.
Especially at that age.
And I was doing shows, too, all the time.
Yeah. And you are like you're a comedian. So we don't know who this guy is.
You're right.
But if he's more of a coffee shop guy.
Yeah, true.
You know, so what's a way that a guy has given you his number or asked you out in a just like. Straight up, like, what's the equivalent of what you're describing, you handing your number to that bartender? Has that ever happened? A guy coming up to you in a way that you thought, like, even if you weren't interested in dating
him. Right, but in a way that, like, was, like, acceptable and sort of charming.
Acceptable and kind of charming,
Oh, my God, I do have such a bad memory for some things like that. It would have, like, yes, I know that that's happened. But it was been a long time. Maybe when I was in university. I don't know. I'm such a night owl party girl. I think all of these interactions happened in sort of a saucier, kind of like seedier way. I don't remember anything so hallmarky, wholesome as like a guy coming up to me at a coffee shop and being like, "Hey, I noticed you." I don't know. This is so hard, actually. All of mine kind of involve having liquid courage and being, it's like nighttime and you're kind of a bit drunk and you're
you suck a guy's number out of a balloon full of whip it.
But if this guy, like, happy hours, I'm serious. Like, it has to be, there has to be an element of looseness to it. After work happy hours.
I'm not sure this is true, but I do think it would help.
I just think that being online and, like, swiping on Tinder is so, I can't even imagine how demoralizing that must feel, like, over and over again and not having it work. I sometimes feel like you do, like, I've dated a lot of people. I've never had Tinder. I've ever on the apps. I was always meeting people in person. But then again, like, that's because our industry and our world, like, we're always out. We're always in public. We're always at bars.
Yeah. If you want to meet a woman, this is how you do it. You start a career in stand-up comedy.
Oh, no.
The first several years will make you less lovable than you've ever been.
It will plummet.
But if you stick with it for 5 to 20 years, you will slowly get good enough to seem attractive from the stage.
From the stage only.
Depending on the type of material you do. Now, in the background of all this, you have to work on yourself so that when they approach you after the shows, your real personality doesn't drive them away.
Yeah. Okay. My friend, I just realized this. My friend met a guy at doing Toronto, you know, Toronto, like, activity club or something, like beach volleyball and all of that.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's a really good way of meeting people too.
I was going to say that because he's also just asking about how to meet people. Yes. And he's asking about going crazy. So there's kind of three things
going
on.
But those people then go out at night together.
Yeah. I think what you want to do is, first of all, you want to meet people with similar interests to you.
Yeah.
So figure out what you want to do.
Yeah. Go play beach volleyball.
Go do things that are fun.
Yeah.
This bigger picture thing is, you're 28. It sounds like maybe you work a lot.
Yes.
Maybe I remember when I was in my 20s, that's when all my hobbies fell away. Okay. I became so singularly focused on career.
Right.
And then when I hit my 30s, I was like, oh shit, like, my life is so narrow.
I don't have all of this web of interests that are, like, gratifying interests.
Yeah. Like, I used to be a little kid who was all hobbies and didn't want to work at all. And then, I got, like, slowly brainwashed into thinking that work was the only thing that mattered.
Right. Other than your sports websites. But anyways.
Yeah. But that's how I treated my hobbies, was like guilty little shameful little tabs.
Yeah. You've got to get out there. That's the only way you meet people. If I wasn't in stand-up, I don't know how I would have met people other than my drinking habit. But that's all tied in.
Yeah. Anyway, get out there.
Beach volleyball, Toronto Recreation Club, rock climbing, whatever your interest, sewing club. Oh, get a metal detector.
Yeah, these are the activities we will recommend. Beach volleyball, rock climbing, or getting a metal detector.
Well, I'm actually thinking of joining a metal detecting club with my metal detector.
Is there such a thing?
Yes.
Wow.
I found it. Because I got a metal detector for Christmas.
Wow.
But then, I don't know, will somebody sweep me off my feet and destroy my marriage?
It's so interesting because I recently got a nerd detector.
Uh-oh.
And I think there's a club that just follows around your club, I think. So maybe we could hang out after.
Know what club I would join if I lived in London, England?
What?
mudlarking, mudlarkers club, and they go around along the banks, the dirty, muddy banks of the Thames, and find the coolest, most wicked, sick, badass ancient shit, like medieval hammered coins and like really cool old stuff. I would love to be a mudlarker.
Oh, that's interesting, because if I was in England, I would join the Hark, There Be Nerds Club.
The oi over there, yeah, nerds.
Oi, oi, nerds.
And you would right follow ahead around the mudlarker. Yeah, you'd cross the wade across the river.
Yeah.
But I really admire this guy. I really admire wanting to get out there. He sounds like a catch. I think he sounds like a catch. I think that like I'd love to see this guy go a little bit like in a positive way crazy this summer.
Yeah,
I think
me too.
This summer it's all going to be happening.
Start wearing flair. Start peacocking and join a club with some fellow like-minded guys to learn some quick tactics on how to practice your art.
No, none of this. Mark, don't listen to Mark. Don't make it at all an art.
If a woman's putting you down, learn how to pick her up.
Oh no. Is that what they say?
No, but it's good, right?
No, I would buy it.
I really want to start my own pickup artist club. All right, it's time for our final segment.
Okay.
Jackie. And as you know, we have lots of celebrity friends.
Tons.
Who are always reaching out to us for advice. Mm-hmm. And today is no different. So here is our latest letter. Dear Jackie and Mark, I'm a white collar worker, but my life is so boring and I have a deep urge to fight in a club. I recently made a new friend who's helping me do that, but I'm worried he's just me, but cool a bit. Should I just roll with it, or is there a second option I haven't considered? Yours, character whose name I forgot, but is played by Edward Norton in Fight Club.
What is his name?
I don't know.
Oh, Tyler. No, oh, that's the cool guy.
That's the cool guy, Tyler Durden.
Durdell.
Durdell. Tyler Durdell.
Oh my God, Tyler Durdell was so hot. It was crazy how hot he was in that.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay, what would I do if I... You know, wanted to like break free, go a bit crazy, but I was scared.
Yeah, you're a buttoned up white collar worker whose self, as represented by a different guy, is pushing you to start a fight club and go down that rabbit hole. Is that good?
I feel like I wouldn't. Personally go down that rabbit hole because like I hate stuff with like teeth getting knocked out, and like I hate, like on movies I hate watching if like someone's face is getting punched,
okay,
and like teeth falling out and mouth bleeding or like injuries, and like I don't like being the shit beat out of me.
Okay.
So I personally would be like, you know what, I've got to like dig deeper and find other ways to kind of gratify myself and like find a better work-life balance rather than getting the shit beat out of me.
So you wouldn't want to start a fight club?
No.
But if
I would rather start like a fun club.
Okay. And what would that entail?
Like mudlarking, metal detecting.
Okay. Yeah.
Beach volleyball.
You're making me want to start a fight club.
To fight me?
To fight you. And you're ill.
So wait, it's just the club is just you and then I have to go?
Yeah. It's you and whoever you enlist to do your terrible hobby. And then me and whoever I enlist to kick the shit out of
you. Well,
you
know
friends.
What? I'm going to remember that you're saying all this because I actually resolved to myself that I was going to give you my first treasure I found with my metal detector, and now I'm not going to.
What would it be? A little chunk of metal?
Yeah.
A coin, perhaps?
Yeah.
Or maybe a little snap top from the tin, from the top of a tin.
Like, I haven't found anything yet with my metal detector except for beer cans. And then it also is picking up on rebar a lot.
Yeah, you don't say.
Anyway, I wouldn't want to do the fight club because I find it sickening and sickly. And all the guys are really bad and they had to live together in a house. They all live together, don't forget.
Yeah.
Don't you want to go home at the end of the day and be cozy and just eat supper in front of the TV and be like, get some time to yourself? Why does it have to be all or nothing with these guys?
Well, that's a good question. That is the question that Fight Club film explores.
All or nothing?
Yeah. He goes from being all white collar buttoned up worker with the IKEA home.
Oh, yeah.
To all domestic terrorist with his fight club and his
soap.
And his rebellion and his soap begetting ways.
Sorry, I forgot the crux of it. It's been so many years since I've seen that. In my mind, it was just them fighting. But, they were becoming domestic terrorists.
Well, yeah, it starts with the fight club, and then they just want to keep going.
Anyway, I would say steer clear to this writer. Steer clear of this club. It stinks. It's messy. The house is dirty. Someone's always bleeding.
But what should he do then? Should he simply stay in his... Oh, you're saying he should take up a more... a cozier hobby.
Yes.
Like mudlarking or metal detecting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Get with it.
Or
come
maybe,
hang out with me.
Maybe pool all your savings. Mm-hmm. Take it from the bank. Go down to the nearest gun store.
Uh-oh.
Buy yourself a big old revolver and put an end to this misery.
Like, I guess that's kind of like mudlarking. Yeah, you could do that too.
Yeah, that's one or the other. Now, here's what I would say as a boy who loved to fight as a teenager.
You did? No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. And I would fight my friends all the time. That was our favorite activity after school. We no heads, no faces, and no crotches.
Ugh.
But we would beat the shit out of each other.
Oh my God.
And then we went and saw Fight Club like 3 times in theaters. And after every time, we would go to a parking lot, park, and fight.
Jesus Christ.
We started a club.
I hung out with a lot of lummixes and bruisers and oafs. But even they weren't doing that.
I was a little twerp, but I loved to fight.
Strange. But know what? That's interesting because when you were drinking, oftentimes I would know you were drunk because you started getting smacky.
Yeah, I like to punch.
And slappy and punchy.
Yeah, I like to punch people.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. That's a real scampy twerp.
Yeah. I think that was fun and I miss being like that.
Yeah,
we all really
miss you being like that. I'm just kidding. No, you don't have to start drinking.
I'm going to get back into drinking, but I'm just going to have to reverse course. So I'll start smoking again and ease out of that.
Yeah, listen to the audiobook backwards. Go buy a pack.
Yeah, that'll be good. My advice to this person would be this.
Mm-hmm.
You got to ask yourself why you want to do a fight club. Look at the question. Turn
Rotate
it around.
Rotate it in your mind.
Pull down that question's pants. Spank it and humiliate
Grab
that
the
question.
Scruff of its neck and breathe into its ear.
Yeah, if your question goes pee on the rug, grab it by the scruff of its neck
rub
and
it
rub
into
its
the pee.
Snout in the pee. But I guess because it's like you're very angry and it sounds to me like this fight club isn't going to dissipate that anger.
No, it's going to exacerbate it.
It's going to turn you into a domestic terrorist.
Yes, and that's so much work.
That's so much work. So ask yourself what you really want.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's just to blow off some steam.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That's all it is.
Start a different sport.
Yeah. Go look. Just open a couple new tabs. Check out. See what's going on the sports websites.
Yeah. And if it's being a domestic terrorist that is actually of interest to you, don't waste your time with all this fight club crap. Jump right to the big
game.
Oh,
right. Yeah. Cut out the middleman.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? Those domestic terrorist groups are like so cliquey. I feel like you do have to pay your dues.
Okay. Well, then do your thing.
They're cliquey.
Stay the course.
Mm-hmm.
I would say to this guy, stay the course. Wow. Well, that's been our episode, Jackie.
Another perfect day.
We talked a lot about Fight Club.
Yeah.
We talked a lot about mudlarking and metal detecting.
Oh, baby. Yes, we did.
And we talked a little bit about words one mustn't use.
Yeah, one word in particular that one mustn't use.
And if I could add to the list of words that I hope we never hear on this podcast again,
mm-hmm.
mudlarking.
Oh, just one more next week, please. Can I talk about mudlarking one more time?
We'll see
next
if Jackie
week?
Uses the M word next week.
Am I allowed to use the M word if I'm not on the riverbank?
Yeah, only those born and bred in the muck may use that word.
All right, fine. I'll keep a sock in it.
All right. We hope you got good advice. And if you want any more, please look us up online. We are on Twitter and we are on Gmail. That's currently where we live. How can we help pod? And if you want to submit a question to get our advice, look up Jackie's Instagram page, Jackie Pirico, and click on her bio link.
That's the one. Until next time.
Bye-bye.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.